Hi, Cheryl Newman joined. Is anybody else on?
Anna's here.
Hey, Anna. Welcome.
How are you?
I'm going to do much better. I'm going to remember it's 6 p.m. for you.
Right. Right. It is early-ish.
Right. Who joined?
Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie. Welcome.
Hey.
Anna Wolf is on.
Yep.
Hi.
And is Ann Ayala on? Okay. We need Ann. She knows everything.
Yes. Girl, did you get my email this afternoon?
Me?
Yes.
No, I did not. We had the vet at 3, and from then on, it was, let's just say, chaotic.
Okay. Well, I just sent you all an email about the Lincoln Trail that I had another 100-mile horse if you all were only going to do one horse up there. And you wanted to take another horse, I'm actually taking two.
Oh, wow.
That will be ready to go because I have this fear of I jinx myself if I only take one horse that it'll come off the trailer lane. So I always take a backup.
Right. Now, where is the Lincoln Trail?
That's up in, it's about 2 hours north of where Henryville was,
right.
Chicken Chase was, and it's a real easy 100.
Interesting.
It's a fairly flat 100. So
yeah, but it's muddy, right? This year?
Well, yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah. But it's in September,
right,
first
okay.
of September.
No, that's interesting.
Because you, Stag had mentioned to me that you were looking for an easy 100 for Winston.
Mm-hmm.
For his first 100 and not.
Yeah.
You mentioned
yeah.
that one.
When in September is it?
It's like September 5th or 6th.
Okay. Basically the weekend after
Labor Day week.
Labor Day. Labor Day. Who joined?
This is Ann.
Hey, Ann. Welcome.
Thank you.
And who we have on thus far is Stephanie Hendrickson, Anna Wolf, yourself, me, Stag.
Okay.
And I don't know who all is going to be on. I know Ann Stewart. Who just joined?
Hello.
Who joined?
Dinah.
Hey, Dinah, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad
you're here. Thanks for reminding me. I did remember for a change.
Hey, good. I don't know, we've got tons of people on, but this is like one of those areas that is sort of funny. Tom Gower sort of threw part of the question out on the table. And Stephanie, I knew that you would have sort of similarly aligned interests.
Yeah, I actually have two horses passported right now, so
wow.
I'm good to go with the horse part of it.
Right. I hear you. Yay.
But I'm, you know, also a little bit concerned about the new regs that are coming out in 2009.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason, basically a lot of the reason why I've asked Ann Ayala to join us. Who just joined, please?
It's John Crandall.
Hey, John. Welcome.
Hey, John. Thank you.
I think we've got our full complement of clinicians and a core of our full members. And I don't think Kathleen Tucker is on. And I haven't heard Leanne or Cindy Nelson. Our latest full member is Deborah Reich.
I don't know that she got the message in time.
I don't know either.
Yeah. We got to throw the email out to her.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
Allison Bailey. Okay, I think, let me just sort of...
Deborah's coming to the clinic?
Pardon?
Is Deborah coming to the clinic?
I got a thing in the mail from her today, and it was just a membership.
Oh, good. Well, that's
cool. So I don't know. She may be planning to.
Yep.
And just hasn't sent that part in yet.
We've been encouraging her to get involved.
Good.
Oh, good.
Good. I thought tonight, given the topic, one way to structure this would be to start off with sort of how the mechanics and you know, all the things you have to do, which Anne's an expert on, the regs and all that, vis-a-vis FEI and passporting and, you know, then getting your horse qualified.
And maybe
and
even
and
some
probably,
of the differentials between FEI and AERC and where things might converge and where they may diverge.
Yeah, you know, and particularly it looks like in 2009, but Anne can get us up to date, there will be a North American championship that people may want to focus on. And then John and I can talk about, you know, how do you get your horse selected, you know, more sort of strategy for what type competitions do you do, et cetera. And then if we still have time left, we can, you know, whatever individual questions people on the call would like to ask about anything. And then if there's still time after that, you know, I could talk a bit about how I prepared Super for Old Dominion for anybody. Super won Old Dominion this
Congrats
year.
On that, too, by the way.
Thank you. And part of the credit for how I prepared Super actually goes to John Crandall, because I got Super probably the most prepared he's ever been for the Old Dominion. And the reason for that is I thought I was going to be going up against John on Heraldic, which was going to be a major challenge. It turned out, unfortunately, John didn't get to ride, and I'm not sure he would have ridden Heraldic anyway, but my preparation was such that I figured if I was ready for Heraldic, I'd be ready for any of the other competitions. But why don't we get started with letting Ella talk through FEI in 2009.
Oh, yes, that is going to be an interesting nothing is cut in stone at this point. The Endurance Technical Committee and various other high performance committee, et cetera, from USEF have received a copy of what they anticipate changing. And I think there are a few things that we can count on. One, that there will be some sort of, for new horses and riders at least, some sort of a ladder system, as it were, so that you work your way up from a one-star to a three-star to four-star. And one thing that is vastly different is that the one-star rides will be basically the 50 to 55-mile rides, whereas before we always thought of them as two-star rides. The two-star rides will be 75 miles, so there's approximately, at least by AERC, differential there, but it would probably, for our purposes in the USA, be a 75-mile ride. And then the three stars and the four stars, four being a championship and three stars being 160 kilometers or 100-mile ride. And I think that horses that are already established, horse and rider combinations, will not have to go through this process. So perhaps it is of value, those of you who are thinking about, you know, moving up to 100-mile FEI rides, if you can do one this year and get established, it might be a good idea.
And can I ask a question? It's Dinah.
Sure.
What are you basing that? That they're going to grandfather horses?
Again, we don't know for sure.
Okay,
whether they will or not.
You heard something that I didn't.
That I didn't know. I guess that's what we hope for.
Okay.
Because they keep saying that riders that are new to the system must proceed through this new process.
Okay.
Vanita wrote or something at one time.
Yeah, I got a memo from Vanita on that that talks about you are grandfathered in at whatever level of CEI competition you have completed ever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a copy of that?
I have this memo. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it right now.
Is it a paper memo or an email?
Well, you know, I may still have it in my inbox.
If you had forwarded that to me, I would be very grateful.
Who is this, Donna?
Yeah, it's okay. DINAH at vermonttel.net.
Okay, yeah, I've got that just on the top of
Thank you so much.
Here. Yeah, I got that from Vanita, so I'll look through my
I think that's where I got my information, was basically from her.
Who is grandfathered, the horse, the rider, or the horse
Both.
Combination?
Both.
Okay. If the rider buys a horse that's completed 100 and a CEI 100, and the rider has not, the rider still has to level up, even though
yes.
they're riding a horse. So
mm-hmm.
You both have to be at that level, but you don't have to do it in combination.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wanted to take a new horse, even though Super and I have done CEI four-star,
right.
horse would then have to ladder up.
Exactly.
That's right. You'd have to do what stands now is, 350-mile rides. Now, what we don't know for absolute sure, though, we are assuming that those 50-mile rides that you have to do in order to move from a 1-2 to a 3 will probably have to be FEI 50s. We can ask that they be just AERC 50s, and I don't know. I have no idea what the outcome of that might be.
I believe that forcing us to create more FEI 50s is part of the point.
Yeah, I talked to Rita about that point because I said there are only 8 FEI rides this year, and this was earlier, and they added them. I said, and none of them are on the East Coast except for the Biltmore. And that's when they added the one in July, next weekend, down in Florida. And I guess the second one in Florida is going to be an FEI ride in December. And But she said there are going to be 19 already scheduled for 2009. So I think the plan is to add a bunch of them because my complaint was, you know, it's an 18-hour road trip for me one way to get to the closest FEI ride.
There still need to be some up in your area. There's no question about that. I mean, something in the Northeast or the Midwest.
Right.
Because most of these are still either Florida, North Carolina, or California, Montana. I mean,
New Mexico, right.
West, New Mexico. Maybe Texas. So you've still got a long ride to go in that respect. So anyway, if you and your horse can manage to do one of these in 08 and be grandfathered in, that would be to your advantage in terms of the rides that you would have to do. And this would apply to anybody that has a new horse or a new rider, either one.
Part of the reason we don't see a lot of FEI rides in the Northeast is because this being developed area, the only places that are open for public lands are mountainous areas.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do the 1320.
FEI proclivity to stay towards a speed-rated COC means that it's not as attractive to have a ride in a slow course.
That's right. One up in Maine. He has been FEI from time to time. I don't know that. I think he's into multi-day now and not doing the FEI.
Actually, he's going to do it next year.
Is he going to do it this coming year? Good.
If they continue to live in Maine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The other thing that I guess I would say, again, Vanita knows probably the most up-to-date information on what forms you need to file to get on the rider ranking list, for example. And the USEF website continues to be a good source of information. Believe it or not, they have gotten their act together much, much better than it has in previous years. And if you go to the breed and discipline line and select endurance, you'll get quite a lot of choices of things that you can, forms and information and all kinds of things about FEI and getting involved and getting on the training list, ranking rider. Now, the rider ranking list is literally just a rider ranking list. It has nothing to do with horse at this point, at the point at which you actually apply for it. And I think there's still a $50 charge for applying. And I don't have anything more update than last year's application form. If there is, I don't think there's one available that's any newer than that. But there will be, I'm sure. There will definitely be a North American Championship of some kind next year, and this is motivated in large part by the expectation that the FEI is going to require that a nation qualify for the 2010 WEC as a nation. This means that you have to have a team that finishes wins a regional or a Pan American or a European championship or some other four-star rated championship. If we win in Malaysia, that would be just fine. We would be automatically on the list, but there's no guarantee.
They're awful late jumping into this. If they're setting it up for 2009 and the...
Yes, we complain about that constantly with FEI, about it being too late, just like this new rule that's going into effect next year. We don't even know what to plan.
Right.
Because we don't know whether we should offer a one-star, a two-star, a three-star, whatever, you know, in terms of sending applications in. I think every ride manager is in that same position. And it will be voted on in November with the changes that we hope we'll see. from the original ones. They were sent in by Vanita, some additions and subtractions to things that would make it much easier for American writers, USA writers, and ride managers. Anyway, if a nation has to qualify, it doesn't mean that that team that does the qualifying will necessarily be the team that goes to the 2010. But it just means that the United States would then be qualified to bring a team of their choice. That's one reason for having a national championship that many people from the U.S., many teams from the U.S., various zones could get to. And it will be a regional ride, as I understand it. And that way we would be able to have all the different zones bring a team, as well as Canada and Mexico, if they so wish.
Does it need to be a four-star? Or?
Yes. It has to be a regional championship. Now, whether that can be a three-star, with the one that we had at Fort Howes, it was both a three and a four-star. Part of it was three-star and part of it was four-star.
Okay, so there's some way to make it a four-star then.
Probably try to make it a four-star.
Actually, somebody, that's right, maybe as you was telling me, that North American in 90 in next year actually may be zone competitions as part of a three-star, and then Canada and the U.S. and Mexico competing as countries in a four-star, which is...
Right. The plans are very indefinite, and it would perhaps also be the pre-ride for the WEG as well.
Yeah.
Would they then field a different...
Would it be in Kentucky then?
Possibly, yes.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I'd heard it was going to be in...
I thought it was going to be a chicken chase
chicken
type
in
place.
Indiana.
Chicken chase. Well, that's Kentucky. Well, that's practically Kentucky.
When you say pre-ride for the WEG, that to me says it's going to be in Lexington.
Yeah, that has to be in Lexington.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Plans are all very much up in the air.
Okay.
All the way around. And
oh, wow.
They have just as you probably all appointed a new endurance director for the 2010 games, and he is new to the post and has lots of work to catch up on, I think. So anyway, the best way to get the most up-to-date information is simply to call Vanita.
Who is the new endurance director?
Emmett Ross.
Emmett? Okay.
Oh, is Art out of the picture? Or?
Mm-hmm. He resigned.
Oh.
It's if you go to the USCF website, there's a news article about Emmett on there.
Okay.
Okay. And somebody joined. I'm sorry. I should have.
Cindy.
Cindy, welcome.
Oh, Cindy Nelson. Good.
We're
all right.
So thus far, the summary is stay flexible.
That's about it.
The word is stay flexible and keep your checkbook handy.
And keep your checkbook handy. There was also last year, and I don't know what has become of this, a program that they called Developing Riders. And it was to be funded in 2008. Whether that has gone anywhere or not, I don't know. It was to provide assistance to riders who were new, who had never done an FEI 100 or something, and it was to offer some help in passporting and other things. But I haven't. Has anybody heard anything more about that? Other than
no.
The proposal that was presented in 07?
Nothing more. And like I said, I passported two horses this spring, and
nothing was mentioned about developing riders.
I was on the phone with Vanita daily for a while.
She would have mentioned it because she's the one that sent out the information.
Yeah, I guess they're Becky's having these clinics, but those are anybody or just to people on the
they're open. Yeah, the people on
they're the open list. If there's room. They're open for audit.
They were open
what,
for audit, right?
Okay.
Yeah, as many as want to go with that horse.
John, didn't you go to it?
Yes, I was there last weekend.
Anybody else that went? Was there any new information that was...
Is that, John, I guess the question would be, is it the type of thing that you think, say, people like Stephanie, who aren't yet on the you know, the list, who've got up-and-coming horses, is it worth their going to either as an auditor? Can you bring a horse, or are you just going to audit if you're not on the list?
You can do either. They fill the places to the people that are on the list first.
Okay.
And then anybody can audit, and they'll let other horses come, as many as they think they have places for.
Okay.
After they've let everybody that's on the ranked list come in.
Okay. And is that something you would recommend?
Yeah, right. It really is the sort of the thing to do and show up at, just to sort of
politically good.
Yeah, to let yourself be known and to network a bit. You know, and particularly to get to know Becky.
Mm-hmm.
Which is important, the way it's arranged right now.
Yeah, well, I actually wanted to get to that, but it was my son's 16th birthday, and, you know,
something's interfered.
Can't be overlooked,
yeah.
Right.
Well,
he really matters.
Becky is Chef to Keep can submit a couple of kind of wild card names, if you wish, riders to the ranking list. She has that ability, so getting to know her is a good thing.
Okay.
And so in selecting the team, what do we have? There's a ranking list, which is based on points, and then a group of selectors who select from the ranking list. Is that?
Yeah.
Let me go back five paces, because there's something here in how Stag phrased that that's not totally clear to me. The ranking list that we're talking about is strictly riders, or is it horse riders?
Correct. Rider ranking list.
Okay.
Strictly riders.
Okay. Go ahead.
And that's different from the training list.
Well, the training list is like the top 20 ranked riders.
Mm-hmm.
It's the training list.
And the ranking list goes
to a maximum of 25, I believe.
I'm on the ranking list, but I've not done a ride. I just paid
the
$50.
He paid the $50.
And I get all the information, which is good.
Yes, because there's quite a lot of it.
Right.
So if any of you are thinking, you know, of moving up, it's good to go ahead and get your application in on that and pay $50 and
now,
get on the list.
Okay, one thing about that, because I guess I'm not even on the ranking list since I haven't paid my $50.
If you haven't paid $50, you aren't on it.
Because I figured, you know, my current horses will be 17 next year and 18 by the wig.
Mm-hmm.
My other horses are babies.
You're in the betwixt and between.
But do you, if you want to participate in the North American next year, they're from a zone, or a North American representing U.S. as a team, do you need to be on, that's actually two separate questions. First of all, to participate representing a zone, do you need to be on the ranking list or anything like that?
I don't think so. I think that each zone will have its own selectors. It will have its own, at least it's the way it's always been in the past. Each zone made its own point system or rules or whatever, you know, for being on the team.
So it's
a
time zone type thing again?
Pardon?
So it's going to be time zone type thing again, like there's the mountain time zone, the east time zone.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's why they're going to call it a regional ride and not a continental ride.
Okay, so for that...
Because for a continental ride, we could only have three teams, Canada, the U.S., and Mexico.
Yeah.
And that does not a competition make. So
that'll actually be a very good thing for the United States, not just that we can have the championship, but it lets us experiment with how to select our teams better.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, we're having a hard time being progressive and keeping up with a selection system that keeps up with the pace of the way things have to change. And I'm really glad to hear that we're going to get back to having zones, because when we had zones, we actually got to see a sampling of different, radically different selection procedures.
Yeah.
Right.
And it let us kind of do tests and experiments within ourselves.
Yeah. For those of you on the call who haven't been part of this process, just to amplify what John said, I think the Pacific South and Pacific North basically had a selection committee. You nominated, and then a bunch of selectors chose the horses that they thought were best, which is the way U.S. East did it way back when. But U.S. East went to a strictly point system. It was your whatever ride you did, you picked your top two, and you got points based on a scoring system of how your horse placed and how far they were behind the leader. And then the top horses went, and there was actually no selection involved by selectors other than, you know, they reviewed the procedures, but it was strictly numerical, which had both good and bad consequences. The good consequence was it was strictly objective, and therefore lots of people in the East felt they had a chance, and because they felt it was objective, and so we got great participation. We had 40 or 50 horses from the East nominating. The disadvantage, which I personally felt, was you could have a very good horse, but if he, you know, something bad happened at one of the selection rides, he wouldn't be eligible for the team, which is what happened to Super in 2005. He was coming off an abscess for Biltmore and wasn't really in shape, and so we finished like 13th and didn't get very many points. And then our second ride, I chose to do Old Dominion. Now, in retrospect,
it was not a good choice.
Focused only on the North American Championship. That wasn't the right ride to choose a selection ride, but I happened to have this obsession with the Old Dominion. And Super got a rock under his hoof pad and came up hoof sore at 70 miles, so I didn't get any points for that ride. So I was like fifth alternate on the point system, and ultimately had to make a decision on whether to take my chances on clearing the wait list or nominating with a friend of mine riding Super, a horse from Great Britain, which is what I did because I wanted to make sure he went. And so Super,
and he did very well.
Horse from Great Britain and finished second overall, but he got no points for USA East because he was competing against them. So that's a long-winded way of saying for the North American next year, which I would encourage people to participate in because
it is fun.
It's fun and it's its own
championship
and all that, is you absolutely have to know your region's procedures. And USA East has a very active mailing list and all that. Mountain region, I think Anna, are you in mountain region?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, typically funny thing
in mountain
about
region,
how they do it.
The criteria was if you had a horse that was sound enough to go,
yeah,
you could go because there wasn't a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously may change, but you know, the bottom line is you have to know your own individual region's procedures.
Did somebody else join?
Yes, Leanne.
Hey, Leanne. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Leanne. Sorry, I'm a little late.
Now, I had one
sort
other question.
Sort of where we are, we're just talking that there is a North American next year, Leanne, and it should be a lot of fun, and there are going to be individual procedures, selection procedures, because the regions, it's going to be a zone competition as well as a continental competition of some sort or another, or a country competition, multi-country competition, so it's going to be a bit more wide open, but each zone is going to have their own selection process.
Mm.
And watch that space carefully.
Right, and Anna, I don't know if you are, you know, FEI directed, but the next clinic that Becky Hart is putting on is coming up. I don't have the date for it right in front of me. John, do you by any chance know when it's going to be? It's out west.
I can bring it up here in just a moment. Hang on.
I was going to say,
okay.
Roughly
can't do it. I'm looking
July
for it.
15th, 14th, 13th, that type time frame. But that's very rough. I want to say it's the same time frame as Tevis. That can't make any sense.
No, it's actually the week after.
The week after, okay.
Tevis. It's right between the Tevis and the Young Riders thing.
Okay, it's
after. Yeah. The last I have on it from Benita is that the tentative date was July 26th through 28th, and it was going to be near Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
I've got it right here. It is registration. Session will take place the 25th, 28th at Washoe Lake State Park between Carson City and Reno, Nevada.
And Reno. Mm-hmm.
Apply by Friday, and will be released by noon.
Yeah.
Yep.
July 25th through the 28th.
That was where I was quite literally riding, galloping along with wild horses in the desert on a Virginia City ride. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And, for example, typically I don't know how much difference it'll make. In South Carolina, of course, we had really muggy conditions, and it got pretty hot. And first day on Saturday there, we went out for just a fairly light ride. On Sunday, we were all asked to do a 40-mile ride and given an exact fixed pace to maintain each loop, which was pretty quick considering the temperature and humidity conditions. I think some of us in each group was given, different groups were given a different pace assignment. They had us in groups of four, and we were to ride as a group together and maintain the pace that we were given for the entire loop. And, for instance, we were given a pace of 13 mile an hour, then 14 mile an hour, then 13 mile an hour, then 16 mile an hour.
Wow.
I heard nobody was able to do it given the heat and humidity.
Yeah, they ended up backing off of it midway through because the humidity was just going to fry
and
a couple horses.
Taking more, yeah.
One horse.
More risk.
Fluids as it is. I pulled Heraldic out halfway.
Yeah. It's probably an education for all concerned, including Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following day, we were just sent out for something a little lighter. We were told to do one of the shorter 7-mile loops at exactly a 7-mile-an-hour pace without our watches.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got around within a minute of exactly 1 hour.
Wow, that's impressive.
Wow.
7-mile-an-hour pace to me is a hard pace because it's neither a walk nor a trot.
That's right, right. It's
something
just
in between.
A slow dog jog, which is actually very appropriate for going to Malaysia because there could possibly be times it'll get that slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pine tree and whatever it was, 2005 weather. Yeah, good point.
Got a little bit off topic. We were working our way into the ranked riders list versus the training list and it's all on riders, and then I was sort of curious as to where the horse enters. And I think you were trying to drag us through that, and we got distracted a little bit here.
Oh, on the training list?
Yeah. And how you get from the riders list, which is I gather you get on the riders list if you pay your $50 and you're therefore on the list.
Yeah.
And then you ride rides or something, and then you get
basically, points. Yeah. I think that, John, you can correct me on this. Probably know more about it than I do. As far as getting on it, on the training list, the Chef to Keep has some input. I imagine the selection committee that was appointed for 07, 08, and will probably change for 09 and 10, has some input on that. And it does involve the horses as well as the riders.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they've got a best two scoring for ranking, and secondarily a your best score in the previous year. The best two counts back 2 years, and then your points total for the last year as a tiebreaker or a secondary ranking protocol, and then after that it's a matter of the selection committee just sort of approving or not approving of the horse.
Right.
In other words, if you come to one of these training events and bomb out or limp off, they have the ability to bump you out of the list.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Again, you can go to the website on USEF under the discipline section, and you can see what the training list, who it is, as of February 10th of this year. And you will see where it has your best two from 07 and the best two from 08 and the standings.
This is still the standings for riders?
Yes.
Okay.
So basically you get into the list by the riders, and you get out of it by the horse.
Okay, but are the horses ranked, or the horses just picked by selectors?
The horses are just approved or not approved, as I understand it, by the selectors. And in this case, I was surprised that we're starting to get a little bit of the same old routine that we've always gotten, is we get down to the wire and the selectors really don't like to make hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So they just start assigning everybody to go to more rides until they solve it for themselves. And so that usually, as always, will result in a bunch of tired horses and a few left standing.
Yeah, that's been one of the problems.
That was the big.
The horses were not fresh when it came time for competition because they had been trailered all over the U.S.
Unfortunately, this was this time was sort of purported to be a big something different, but in the end, it's kind of coming down to the same old lawsuit anxiety. Got to be sure we can defend it in court.
Mm-hmm.
Problem, you know.
Yeah, there has to be a logical reason why you are on this list and why you're number one or number five or number 10.
All the risk about taking chances, appropriate risk to be a champion, apply to the riders, but not to USF.
Oh, yes.
Are they? I mean, one of the problems, in my opinion, that the U.S. made in 06 was you had to do one of three selection rides in a three-week interval, which meant if your horse happened to be recovering from a problem, you know, even though by the time of the WEG he might be perfectly fit, he didn't have to.
That's the other element of this some of the new FEI rules, on which there is a great deal of controversy. And that is, if your horse is pulled for metabolic reasons, you cannot re-enter a competition for a certain number of days, and that number of days is kind of up in the air right now. There are several different suggestions. The Endurance Technical Committee of the FEI wanted to make it pretty strict, and I think they had, I don't know, what they have, 60, 90 days, something like that.
It was long.
It was a long time. And if you're pulled for twice for metabolic reasons, it got even longer. And finally, you are disqualified altogether. So there is something of that sort that's going to be involved probably in the rules for next year.
Yeah, and the things that I keep going back to in my own experience, not with FEI, but with the horse I rode for so many years,
mm-hmm.
is he was a thumper.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was figuring out how much electrolytes I needed to give that guy in order to not have him thump,
mm-hmm.
we had metabolic pulls.
Yeah.
And you're telling me I can't go out to follow. I mean, the horse was perfectly healthy. But
right, but
couldn't
they're
go
still
out
saying
with,
you can't enter another FEI ride
yeah.
within a certain length of time,
yeah.
whatever that time may be.
Yeah, and
so,
like, and then even they're saying between one-star rides, even if you haven't been pulled, you can't do more than a one-star ride every 3 weeks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think you have to worry about that because I don't think there will be that many close together, but
okay.
there could be. Out west particularly, they were kind of on top of each other.
It's just kind of, if you thought in terms of how, just
one important thing to notice.
If everything in this country is FEI somehow magically next year, which it won't be, but if it were, it's really weird.
A little background, to sort of put that into perspective. In the rest of the world, you know, in America, we've all sort of gotten conditioned into the idea that we do some rides just as part of our development and conditioning program.
Yeah.
And we work out the kinks on races.
Right.
In the rest of the world, that's absurd. Why go to a race if you're not ready? You do your own mock races, and you form up your own, your less formal events.
At home, even.
Yeah, and work those things out before you actually sign up for an FEI race. And so it may actually create the same a market or a window for us to begin to sort of do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
is to have some events and some organized events that are formal training exercises.
Right. Not
and
a
leave the races
rides, not FBI rides, but just training
right.
rides.
And leave the races for when you're truly locked and loaded. And that may be a shift in philosophy and approach that we may have to learn how to do if we're going to keep going that direction.
Good thought.
That's interesting, because I know with Strutter, my horse, it was after 70 miles that he'd thump. It was not before 70 miles.
And his time all set up.
I kind of look at it and say, well,
Here we are, 70 miles.
Yeah, 70 miles on a training ride? Anyhow, it just gets, and maybe that's not a candidate you want to pursue or something like that, and you wash him out early on. But
yeah, that's one thing for sure, that, you know, before you do all this passporting and everything, you kind of want to make sure you have a 100-mile horse.
See,
you know,
for me, I have a real yearning to see something, you know, some kind of event established that is something more progressive than the typical competitive trail ride, and more aggressive and more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something nearer to an endurance ride that lets you mock up the same conditions, but isn't actually the race. And we may need to do that if you know this FEI system comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Let me for the I'll forget all the names of that. But are there questions from folks about you know the process and procedures and all that Ann should be addressing before we move into the next phase? So. Anna, Leanne, Cindy, who am I forgetting?
Anna.
Stephanie, Anna, I have
Anna.
Questions.
No, like I said, I passported two of my three horses, just and neither one of them have done 100-mile rides, but it's just easier to get it done now.
Right.
You know, the process, it was not a short process. It was a six-month process.
Yeah, that's the other
bit
of advice we would give anybody new. If you're thinking about doing it, get started way ahead of a ride that you want to go to because it takes forever.
Yeah.
Did the passport get bounced back and forth between you and USET a couple times?
One of them did, and the second one did not. I mean, the second one went through like it was nothing, and the first one, they were calling my vet every other day asking questions.
Yeah.
And it.
Because your vet was going through a learning experience?
Well, the vet went through the learning experience, but because the horse was a gray and they were looking for certain markings, and I mean, I'm not sure why they don't put pictures on these, and, you know, and that was the one that he
photographed
us with. Yeah, photographs.
Yeah,
how much? I mean, that's what they use with my passport. I mean, my passport was much easier to get than my horses.
Yeah. Oddly enough, horses can look very much alike in a photograph.
Well,
so they want every little whorl and the shape of your this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, when you're just a gray without many other markings.
I've got horses that have had passports for years, and still every other ride, somebody's found something to fuss about on the markings.
Right, and they're looking
Well,
at scars.
Sometimes.
Well, I've got a horse that's getting a new scar every other week. I mean, he's just a boy that plays in the field, and he comes in cut and nicked every other day. And
the scars don't count. But,
is that Jake?
Jake, yes.
Yeah.
My bubble boy.
Keep him sound.
I mean, he's sound, but he's always got, I mean, tries to slit his throat. I mean, but they want scars marked on the passports.
I think that's major scars. Little bitty scars, they don't care.
Well, he literally slit his throat open, so.
Oh, gosh. Horses.
Yeah, worse than kids.
Yep.
Well, maybe we're ready to move on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, is it of interest to people to talk about, you know, sort of the, I guess you'd say, the strategy of getting a horse selected for either zones or?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm willing to give my horse up to another rider.
And, you know, that's easier said than done, too.
Yeah, you got to get the right rider.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to click. Anyhow, Doug.
Yeah. John is more current because the last time, you know, I actually went through the process was for the, I tried to qualify for the world in 2006, and there I got caught up in the fact that the selection rides were in a three-week interval, and Super happened to jam a stick up into his cornet band.
That's an optimally strategically wrong time.
4 weeks or 5 weeks for the selection ride. And so, you know, we did our best to get him ready, and he tried, but he only got 40 miles before the, you know, he came up off, minor off, but enough to get pulled, and that shot my chance. So I guess I would say one of the things to be very conscious of is the soundness criteria tend to be a lot higher because in the FEI rides per se, the vetting is frequently much stricter than at the typical ARC ride. So selectors are typically putting a very high premium on soundness. So part of your strategy is to do rides to show you and your horse can get through a ride with very solid performances, but quite sound. And if you're really focused just on FEI, that probably means focusing on rides that have less of a chance of a horse coming up off. As I said, I cost myself a place probably on the US East time zone squad for the North American 2005 because I chose to do the Old Dominion. I did that consciously because, you know, to me, the Old Dominion is the epitome of what I care about in endurance. But, it's not a ride you go into if you want to guarantee that you come through with a sound horse because that rock might be out there. And that particular day, ironically, I lost a shoe on the left front. And, in fact, the shoe got twisted, and I have to pound it off with a rock. I was sure it was going to be lame on that front. He ended up getting a pebble under the pad on the right front. It was off on the right, not the left. But anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying be very cognizant of the fact that soundness becomes much more important at the FEI rides than AERC rides. John, why don't I let John talk, because he's, you know, he participated in Malaysia last year, and hopefully will be on the team to the Worlds in Malaysia this year.
Yeah, just to background what Stag was saying, you have to understand that when you go particularly to the major events, UAE or major championship overseas, almost always the trot outs are absolutely pristine, perfect man-made surfaces. Lanes with an absolute perfect, literally a carpet or something like that. And graded without the slightest little dip. And that allows the vets to be fairly critical about the slightest little gait aberration. And FEI rides, particularly in the UAE, but in the major championships as well, it doesn't have to be a clear, significant lateral, unilateral head bob or dip. A horse can easily get pulled just for simply having bad impulsion in the hind end or such. In other words, they don't wait to see the horse actually get unilaterally lame, which is probably the biggest difference. And for instance, here in America, we've kind of gotten soft on hind ends getting a little fatigued looking. Or creaky hind ends of older horses, because we have, particularly in the West, we have so many older, high-mileage horses trying to go for mileage standings. In the FEI arena, that doesn't cut it. Your horse bounces through there like a spring chicken, or he gets the hook.
Yeah. By contrast, I can remember being at the ARC National Championship ride. Well, I've forgotten what year it was, 2004 maybe, because we were having our ARC board meeting out there, and I was watching the best condition judging the next morning at the ARC National Championship, and I would have only called one of those horses sound enough to even stand for best condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of that.
That would not pass anything with FEI, just to underline that. So I think one of the good things about FEI, some of you have ridden FEI, a number of you maybe haven't, is that there's a, whenever a horse gets pulled, there's a panel of judges that basically vote on whether the horse gets pulled, especially on lamenesses. So you get like three vets looking at your horse. But
independent
at the same
of
time,
one another.
That criteria is, the bar is to pass is high. So we all have to go into this with that in mind. And I think, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think that type of judgment is something that we do need to have more of for ordinary ATRC rides in this country than we've typically had.
I agree. I mean, the case in Abu Dhabi this year, I got pulled at the last vet check for basically what was little more than I just described. My horse, admittedly, was not feeling good in his back and had bad hind end impulsion for it. He wasn't really lame on any particular leg. His movement was not great. And I got pulled for lameness. I completely agree with it, actually. I think it was a good call. And I wish it was more consistent that way in the United States, really.
What's the thinking among Ian, John, since you've had, in some senses, the most current sort of exposures, are we likely to be getting stricter judging criteria, at least at the FEI rides in this country?
I don't know. The bottom line is, you know, expense of putting on the event. And to get that critical, you do have to have that perfect trot out.
Mm.
And that is literally an overhead that I'm not sure how fast we can get ourselves up to.
Yeah.
So a ride that you're talking about a ride being totally FEI, so that all the judging would be at the FEI typical level.
Yeah.
Well,
rather than
the
combination.
If I'm sitting there saying I'm doing Biltmore for the sake of argument, as a 3-star FEI ride, and am I likely to be pushing my judges, at least for the FEI horses, to be finicky?
If you don't give them the same pristine, perfect trotting surface, you can't expect the judges to do any different but soften up the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're out there at Fort Howells and we're trotting up and down that hayfield with a big truck rut through the mud in the middle.
I hear you on that one. We at least have
you know, the criteria is just as soft as at any other ARC ride.
Right. And we at least at Biltmore have a ring that we're trotting horses in these days. And so the surface is groomed. It's not perfect. In my books, there's a big difference between groomed and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Well, it's sand, and that always presents some differential, even if it's just been groomed.
Exactly. So it gets sort of interesting. You say they're man-made surfaces, so it's sort of like AstroTurf or something?
Yeah, they're in some cases. I know in one place in the UAE it was AstroTurf, or they'll lay down a perfect sod.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in Malaysia, we'll see, they'll probably have just a perfect fine pea gravel footing raked out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Pea gravel would be...
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of looking at that thing. I don't want to have my horse rot on that.
Okay, pea gravel is actually easy for a horse. If it's small gravel, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's almost sand and fine gravel, you know.
It's
real nice trot.
Yeah.
Because
the stuff we have out on gravel is pea gravel.
John, you want to talk a bit about, you know, if you were, you know, some of the folks on the call and you wanted to, you know, have your horse selected for the zone next year, what would sort of be your strategy the latter part of this year or early next year to, you know, let people know, yeah, you have a horse that should be going to the North American?
Well, like we pointed out earlier, it's going to be a little different each zone. But I think with the pending, if you're thinking about it for next year, you really are way ahead to recognize that ladder system probably is coming, and you'll probably get grandfathered at least for anything that you did this year. I don't think that grandfather will go back many years. But if you've got a horse coming on, you might want to get out and do some 100 miler. This year, just so that you can start off running when you find out what your targets are next year.
And do they do calendar, or is they November 30th, December 1 to November
30? Let me check.
FEI is calendar.
FEI is using the standard Western calendar.
Okay.
January, December.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So GOSI is an 08 ride then, from FEI's perspective.
Correct.
Yeah.
And conceivably, the New Mexico ride, assuming they have one over the Christmas holiday, may or may not be an 08 ride.
Yes.
Depending on whether it's...
Is the ARIC National Championship FEI this year or not?
It is a rider ranking ride.
It is a rider ranking.
It is not an FEI ride, but you can get rider ranking points for that ride for the 100 mile.
I like Biltmore.
Yeah.
No, it's Chicken Chase, Henryville.
Yeah.
The National
Biltmore was a ranking ride, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as Biltmore.
Right.
Right.
You can't get a COC. All you can get is rider ranking points.
Now, at Biltmore, you could get a COC.
Yeah, I bet they can.
And that you'll be able to, if they let Biltmore do it, they have to.
It was a really limited value COC, which if you added it all up, it was the COC, but it was a COC in name only. It wasn't a COC that was functional. It's sort of like, yes, I got a COC, which is nice to be able to say.
Mm.
Is the COC necessary for 3-star or just 4-star?
For entry, you mean?
Yeah. What does everybody on the call know what a COC is?
Yeah, I don't know what a 3-star or 4-star is.
Oh, okay. Let Ann answer that, or John.
Well, currently a 3-star is a 160-kilometer or 100-mile, basically, in the U.S. at least. It can be less than 160 kilometers. There's a this-to-this sort of thing. And a 4-star is a championship. Sometimes with teams, I guess it can be individual as well, but usually with teams. And that would be a regional or a continental or a Pan-American or Europeans or whatever else there might be in the Far East or something. But it would be a championship ride, the 4-star, and you would have to qualify for that ride. Depending on the ride, it might have different qualification criteria to enter. You might have to have some rides that count from 2 years back and some rides that count from just the current year. They set different criteria for each one, basically. That'll be basically the same next year. It'll just be the 1-star, 2-star area that will change, with the 1-star being a 50-mile ride or 50 to 55-mile ride, and a two-star being approximately a 75 to 78-mile ride, somewhere on in there.
So are there four-star in this country?
There have been. The NAEC several years back was a four-star ride. Was part of
the Pan Ams in North America.
Pan Ams, when we have had them, have always been the one at Trout Lake in Washington and
Vermont.
Yes, those were four-star rides.
What happened?
We can't do the Pan American anymore, however, because they decided that the U.S., Pan American ride, the U.S. could only have one team. And since, the possibility of a bunch of South American teams coming up was pretty thin, you can't really afford to have a ride with three teams from Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. And Mexico is still in the baby stages of getting endurance qualified for four-star rides.
For those who aren't aware of the history, what happened is when FEI got started in endurance back in the mid-80s, and the U.S. actually was sort of started it along with Europe, the U.S. proposed, in order to get teams, that we do it by time zones, because people weren't shipping horses around the world back then. And FEI agreed, and so for many years, what the North American Championship was four time zones in the U.S. and two in Canada, because they just split sort of Canada down the middle competing. So there were six teams competing, and then they split the U.S. and Pacific time zone requested to split into two, and everybody agreed because it was all sort of friendly U.S. competition. And so you had seven teams competing.
And seven times four riders.
Yeah, and then they expanded the number of riders, and so it made economic sense. And so that was the system up through 2003. Then South America got involved, and we started having Pan Ams, I guess, down there. And then we had a North American Championship in 2005, which continued the zone competitions. But FEI kept saying it's supposed to be competitions among countries. And despite the fact the U.S. has the same number of endurance riders, or at least as a couple of years ago, as the rest of the world combined, they said you're just one country.
Yeah, we want the whole EU to be one country.
Yeah, we want
to
argue
how long
the EU should be one country.
Yeah.
So they basically, FEI finally said, championship rides, Pan Americans, are among countries, and they are permitting North American Championship to be among zones. Or I'm not even sure what that's technically called, the North American. So
it's a regional championship.
Yeah, so we're sort of going through this weird transition, which hasn't necessarily worked to the U.S.'s benefit, but the U.S. essentially has no clout in FEI and endurance anyway.
Okay, so if you're going to nominate and you really, really, really want to get into, say, the regional championship, the general gist is you get yourself on the ranked riders list and then get yourself in 100 this year. Is that at least the start? And
one ride out west in September, September the 6th. And then the Ocala ride on July 5th, this coming weekend, and that's, Alberta, Canada's having one, but that's a long drive for almost everybody.
And then the Gopi ride is FEI in December.
And September 6th, Las Cruces, that's New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Because to Anna, probably thought that would be the only one.
Yeah, I went to.
And then there will be the December Gopi ride in Florida. That's not on the. That wasn't on the. I was just looking at the ranking trial list.
Yeah. I want to say the Blue Bonnet ride or something like that. Did they have that FEI this fall or something, or was that this past spring?
It was in April.
It was in April, okay.
2008, so it has to be upcoming.
And everybody understands that what a, that the COC is done, needs to be done in 13 hours and 20 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have they expire, right?
For championship rides, they do.
They do. Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that the same COC standard will, that they're having for Malaysia will continue.
It's a change.
Correct. They're talking about lightning.
They've had a
on that.
Stricter standard than ever for Malaysia, just because of anxieties raised by the Europeans about the humidity, and so
mm-hmm.
they had to do something. They felt they had to do something a little stricter for Malaysia.
Yeah.
And so in Malaysia,
so that could
you
be
have
different
have,
for the WEG. Right.
Right.
But
it'll be different for the
with
WEG.
The fact that the nation has to qualify in order to even send a team.
Right.
So we do need good participation at the
and nations qualify
natural.
By having what?
It's unclear. They haven't set it, anything in stone yet. So well, and it won't stay in stone
no.
for more than
12. No, so you don't know whether you have to place first in some sort of an event or first, second, or third, or we don't know. But
well,
like I said, that's the reason for having the NAEC
World Championship and not even have a team.
Yeah,
that'd be terrible.
I would assume that the home team would be grandfathered. I mean,
I don't know.
I think that would be very unlikely that they wouldn't allow the home team.
It looked it'd be awkward politically.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Oh,
well, again, I would just say to any of you who are new at this, there's a wealth of information in the endurance section of USAF. If you go to their breeds and disciplines and then to endurance, there are procedures that explain the ranking, rider ranking, and the national training list, how it comes about, and the point system in detail. So if any of you are interested in that, just go to that website and check out the information that's there.
Although
Benita will
no,
keep it updated anyway.
Consider that if they do grandfather the hosting home team, that'll only up the ante and the fever for bidding high for whoever can put on the event.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a high stakes, an even higher stakes game for getting the championship back in your company, in your country.
Mm-hmm.
Because some countries will literally be buying a slot for their team.
Yeah. Which they can afford to do in some cases. Well, we will see what happens in November and what actually comes out. We should know by December what the final rules are going to be anyway for endurance. And as for qualifications for the WEG, I hope that will not be too far behind.
Yeah. Is it reasonable something that though the North American next year, if you want to participate at a zone level as opposed to
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there will be apparently a U.S. team, which will be a subset of the U.S. horses competing in the zones. But at the zone level, that probably is going to be relatively obtainable and straightforward. And you know, so you've got to.
Yes, it would be likely that one of the zones would win.
Yeah. But that's something that's a reasonable. You know, people can aspire to and have a reasonable expectation that
right.
they won't get too caught too much up in the bureaucracy or the whatever as long as their horse stays sound.
Mm-hmm.
Well, each
the Chicken Chase Trail is it's basically a pretty good trail. It's got a few rocks, as you say, to the Old Dominion, but
which trail?
It's doable.
Chicken Chase.
Mm-hmm. Henryville.
Yeah, Henryville. They've been putting rides on there forever. Top of the Rock and Chicken Chase and what, is there a third one? Sometimes it is.
It has become much rockier in the last couple of years.
I think they've eaten up the trails a little bit more.
They have laid
new gravel down on a lot
there's
of
more trails. Gravel on
and
that road.
That
going
big
out.
Gravel, the mm-hmm. huge like three number three stone or something.
Yeah.
Huge stone that's really brutal on the horses.
Mm. Yeah, Cheryl will say you rode it this year, so you probably have.
No, we rode the first day, which, as I understand it, is not typically what they do on.
On the hundreds.
Hundreds. The hundreds is more the type of stuff that Stephanie is talking about.
Well, and you know what? I went back and rode the top of the rock there in June, and they had even changed it somewhat. They canceled the 100. I was going to do the 100 there, and interestingly, I only had two entries in that. I was surprised since it was a pre-ride for the national championship. Mm-hmm. But they went back and did that trail on the other side of the road. Again, that they had not done in past years, because that's the ride I usually do at least twice a year
mm-hmm.
over there. And they actually, on the 50-mile ride, put in that part where you go down that long road past all those houses and mailboxes and cows and dogs and all of that. Mm-hmm. They added that into the 50-mile ride that they have never done before.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. So I'm assuming that's going to be part of the National Championship 100 over on that.
This is
nasty, muddy, sticky.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
part of the trail.
This is the part that we did on that first day.
Exactly.
My horse on.
Exactly, and that's I threw shoes there on both of those rides.
Mm.
And the weather conditions were good. I mean, it's not like the weather conditions were bad, but they had had some rain, and it was just getting dry enough to really suck shoes. And I mean, it was not uncommon for there to be a line at the farriers.
Mm.
Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking of going in the fall. It's too far to go for a pre-ride, but for a national championship, I might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In theory, the fall.
It should be drier.
It should be much better than when we were there in the spring. Normally by that time of the year, things would have dried up. Of course, this. Who knows what the weather's going to bring the next next 3 months? We've had such freaky weather.
No, just send all the rain over here. We're in serious drought.
Yeah, that's the irony, is we've been in drought until the last, we finally had the rain.
Still are, really.
Days, but we were in one of our worst droughts ever until we haven't
still,
really broken it. We just had
we've had a little bit of tantalizing.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of days of rain, but it doesn't even wet the ground to make it muddy or even damp.
Yeah,
that's the way we had been for 2 months.
Uh-huh, that's what we're doing.
And this last 3 days, we've actually had enough that the ground got a little bit moist.
Really?
Yeah, it was really, it's really
exciting.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Let's, I think historically we tried to keep these at least not more than an hour and a half. Are there, since we have John and Dinah and Ann on the phone, are there questions in any other areas that people like to ask about? Doesn't have to be FBI, but just in general things on your mind?
I know that last year they had proposed, they had proposed some sort of a training, something in New Jersey, and that fell through. They ended up canceling that. Is that what they've replaced these East and West Coast training rides with? Stag, I think I had emailed you about that even.
John is probably more on top, or Ann. That's my impression, is that what Becky's done is set up a series of these, 3-day training rides. But, John, do you know, I'm not focused on international this year at all. I focus, my year's focus was the Old Dominion and now ERC National Championship. So John or Ann would be better able to answer just what are the international training or FBI training opportunities right now.
I only heard that Becky had planned the two, the one in South Carolina and the one out west,
I'm
totally ignorant about New Jersey.
Well, and the issue is that I have actually tried to contact some of the USA East people in the last year, and I got to tell you, I think they're fairly unresponsive. It's almost like it's a closed society.
It's become a fairly dormant society since we really haven't had anything to exercise UAE East on
mm-hmm.
For the past since 2003.
Exactly. Next year, I think it will become active again simply because there's going to be a reason for it to be active.
Yeah. What Stephanie, what I would do is actually call up, I think there are two zone reps. Lynn Connelly is one.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fairly new and seems to be engaged. I'd actually just give her a phone call.
Okay, because if you go online and look at USA East Endurance, the website's from 2006. It has not been updated since 2006.
Yeah, and
you on the email list.
It's even older. It's 2003 or 4.
Yeah.
Are you part of the Yahoo USA East group?
Have you joined? No.
I mean, you really should, because you will get a lot of information. Lynn, I'm sure, can tell you how to do that.
Has there been much? I haven't seen anything in a good while, though.
I think the last stuff was from SIA. It's been a while. Just like you say, it's been very quiet.
Yeah. And fundamentally, Stephanie, you're right. Not much has been happening, and even the Yahoo group, not much has been happening. But at the same time, if anything is happening, you'll get it on the Yahoo group probably quicker than you'll find it from their web.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the other regions even have mailing groups. But there is, if you look in...
I think there are regional representatives from all regions.
There should be regional representatives from all regions unless they've gone inactive, and those regional reps should be listed in the news, right?
Yes. And I will say should be.
Be listed
and on
where?
The ERC website under international.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I would...
I think things will, you know, just based on this whole North American stuff, the regional representatives will come out of their Rip Van Winkle mode.
Yeah. So what I would encourage people in each of the different parts of the country to do is contact their regional reps and say you want to be on the mailing list and you're interested, et cetera.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
I know Sia Reese and...
Lynn and Sia are the East Zone reps.
Connelly are the East reps. Yeah, I don't know the other parts of the country.
Well, I have a question that's a little backwards from what we've been talking about, but related. I don't know what you guys' take is, that some of the rides that are ARC and FEI, and if I'm just riding ARC so far, and they tell you, well, you don't have to do the FEI rules, but then you do. And I don't even know if they are FEI rules. I just know they're not ARC rules. Like at the national championship last year, and we had only one chance to present at the finish. And then they said, oh, and by the way, come back in 2 hours, which is for me, you know, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are we doing this? You know, you're tired and you're thinking, good grief, I don't know what rule and why this applies to me.
Yeah, the answer to that is the...
It's a bit of a hybrid.
Yeah, the... In terms of, you know, can you present once or twice or five times?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to come back at 2 hours? That's really up to the vets.
Mm-hmm.
ARC gives vets tremendous discretion.
I've never run across it in the ARC.
And so what probably I think what happened at the national championship ride last year.
Especially on the one chance to present.
Is
mm-hmm.
the vets said, well, we've got to run an FEI ride, so we're just, and FEI, I guess, typically is only one chance to present. I'm not sure.
Vet judgment.
I think that's vet judgment.
It's up to the vet judgment, because
yeah,
it's no more, you know, you've got a second chance. You've got one more chance.
Yeah, the vets decided we'd only give one chance, and we'd do the same thing for
across the board.
ARC
mm-hmm.
and FEI.
Yeah, they always tell you, though, that, you know, if you're writing ARC, you don't have to follow the FEI rules, and then you get there and you do.
Yeah.
Well, the one chance to present is not an FEI rule. It's just that's what the vets decided to do with that ride.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that happen at any number of AERC rides where there's no breath of FEI.
Yeah,
okay, I just never seen it before.
I know several, there are various vets, including my own personal vet.
Yeah.
And
Jeannie Waldron and a number of others.
Others back east. That's just their philosophy. I don't, you know, Ann Stewart and I have gone round and round because I disagree with her on that one, but that's her fault.
What does AERC rules say about that?
AERC rules say the vet, it's the discretion of the vet.
And the ride manager.
The vet could
and the
say,
ride manager, yep.
Yeah, see, I have seen, for example, I was at one ARC ride where the vet had you present at the end of the hold period, not the beginning, and that was okay. That, you know, the,
oh, yeah, we had to do it at the beginning and the end at several of the vet checks there.
Yeah, and, you know, Old Dominion this year, for example, I think you could present multiple times, but some of the vet checks you had to present at the both beginning and end, and others you just had to present at the beginning. So that's strictly, if you read the ARC rule book, how you conduct holds, there are some guidelines in the veterinary manual, but they're strictly guidelines. A veterinarian, you know, could say, you know, I'm just going to watch you as you go down the trail after you leave camp, and I'll blow a whistle if I'm not happy, and that would actually be allowed under ARC rules. So it's really the vet that is determining it. What happens at FEI, joint FEI ARC rides, is the vets then say, well, we'll just run it runway, and it'll be similar to what's done at FEI. The 2 hours.
There's been a lot of pull from the vet committee of AERC to experiment with, like, the 30-minute rule at the end that you have to present within 30 minutes and not within 60. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think they have asked some rides if they will not do that this year to see.
Right,
what
I think
happens.
That's in the endurance news that they talk about but that has to be posted. It has to be announced ahead of the ride. You can't just show up
right.
And they announce that. That has to be kind of.
Everybody
has to know that coming in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the 2 hour, I think, is actually FEI does require a 2 hour safety check.
And
how
that
2 hours is what it does.
Pardon?
I think technically the rule says within 2 hours.
Yeah.
They usually put it at 2 hours, or, you know, if it's one of these rides where they're in the stalls, then the vets just go around at the end of,
yeah, exactly,
you know, certain, and kind of check all the horses within that range. And you may not be quite at 2 hours, or you may be even slightly over 2 hours or something, but they'll see your horse at least one more time after.
Yeah.
Now, typically, I mean, if you're doing an ARC FEI joint ride, typically once your horse has passed the ARC completion exam, within the 1 hour, then your horse has its ARC completion.
I was going to say, what were they going to do to me if I didn't come back?
Probably nothing. I don't think there's anything.
From an
if they had announced that as one of the rules,
the FEI ride, probably.
No, they only told me at the finish.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, by the way, come back in 2 hours. It's 1 a.m. I have to drive, you know, thousands of miles. I'm going to die if I have to get up at 3. They finally, do you want me to die to make sure the horse is okay? I look out the window. I'm a wuss. I'll be running over here if I see anything wrong whatsoever.
Yeah.
Part of the deal is that they are trying to prevent. They are trying to watch for treatment within 2 hours post-ride, because if you do treat within 2 hours of completing a ride, you are eliminated.
Yeah, but not from ARC.
No, but you are from FEI.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You don't have to check in on AERC.
Uh-huh.
After,
I don't know what they were doing there. That's most unusual.
They were just putting a blanket rule on us, and I probably could have just not shown up. They actually extended it to 6 a.m., which didn't help much because I still had, you know, 2 hours sleep.
Yes.
Since I don't finish till 1 a.m.
I mean, part of it is different.
If you don't have a crewman, they'll stay up all night and take your horse over.
Right.
I mean, part of it is a difference in philosophy.
Maybe your crew would.
That's my husband. I didn't want to ask him.
Good luck.
He was my brand new crew, first time ever.
Yeah. I mean, part of it, Anna, is a difference in philosophy in multiple ways. One is that, you know, typically FEI, it's fairly rare that the trainer, the rider, and the owner are all the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, typically there's a trainer, a rider, an owner, a groom, and additional crew.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas in AERC, it's fairly unusual that the trainer, the rider, and the owner aren't all one and the same
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, I think, is AERC.
And the driver home.
Pardon?
Yeah, right.
And the driver home. That. And
mm-hmm.
part of it is AERC is always perhaps too far very much a culture of individual responsibility and individual, you know, do damn well what you please, you know, the Western culture, if you like. And the assumption the owner is responsible for the horse, for better or for worse. And sometimes an ARC is for worse. I mean, we do have probably a higher death rate in the ARC than FEI. You know, a lot of people in the world wouldn't believe that, but I think that is probably true because not all owners are as responsible as they should be.
And FEI vets are
there
and they
eliminate horses. Horses of finishing rides, getting their completion, and then, you know, dying because the owners didn't get treatment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very much, you know, it's individual responsibility. FEI is much more sort of the European, if you like, you know, these are all the rules to make sure that everybody does the right thing.
Right.
And so
they've always been that way. They have that long, you know, that tradition of FEI for the most part.
FEI, and
so they're used to it. It's nothing new.
Applying their philosophy from other disciplines into endurance, and I've got to admit there are times when I look at the things that they're proposing for 09 and I kind of cringe. It's like, get out of my space. But
but it's probably true, and John, who's seen much more of this than I have because I've never participated in the Mideast, you know, it's probably been appropriate that FEI has been relatively heavy-handed with the rules to protect the horse, and certainly the protection of the horse has been raised to a much higher level. And, you know, the fatality level to a much lower level.
One of the greatest sources of fatalities we've had in the United States is after the race, well after the race. And it with and just basically hesitancy to expend treatment early enough. And very often it doesn't matter how much you spend, it's too late. And so it really is a good policy to have those checks afterwards. And in many major races, and particularly every race in the UAE, every horse goes to the hospital. And
get
every
fluid.
Horse goes into observation until an independent, not non-ride-related vet clears the horse out. And what that serves to do is it completely destigmatizes getting your horse treated. So there's no hesitancy, there's no embarrassment.
Everybody does it.
80% or 90% of them, every horse gets blood drawn and a hydration test, not just a skin tinting. And every horse gets the exact amount of fluid he needs before he walks out of there.
Yeah. And just to share our personal experience, if you're going to go do a 100 in 24 hours and it's an easy 100, then probably your metabolic risk are fairly low, but it may not be your horse that day. Biltmore in 2007, last year, a friend of ours was riding Super, who has won and gotten BC at Biltmore 3 times, and her instructions were to go around at an easy pace to condition Super for the Old Dominion and complete her first 100. Her goal was to complete her first 100. Brenda Bauer, she has, neat story, has MS, but has it under control and wanted to do 100. Super at 68 miles or whatever the checkpoint was, 70 miles, he got all A's except he didn't have a very good CRI, and so the vet wanted, or maybe that was an exit exam check. Anyway, the vet did come back later because the horse didn't seem quite right. Even though she was going at a moderate pace, she weighed the same thing as I did, so there's like no obvious reason, you know, why the horse should have been under stress. I was actually out working, came and checked, you know, helping Cheryl because she's a ride manager. I came by to just say, hey, how's the horse doing during the checkpoint? And Beth said, well, they want me to go have him double checked because he had a CRI wasn't that good, and I checked. And here we were 30 minutes into the hold period, and he was like at a 68 or something. I said, something's not right with this horse. He should be down in the 40s. And so, you know, we checked him over, didn't see anything much, took him back up the vets. They did another CRI, and it went up. And you know. So we, fortunately, Lynn Johnson had her portable vet clinic there, and so we pulled him and went over and had Lynn draw blood, and he was dehydrated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And best we can think is he didn't drink well the right day before, but we went ahead and we put a, she put, I don't know, 20 or 30 liters in that horse just as a precaution, and, you know, within, you know, small number of hours, he was doing absolutely fine, and, you know, 5 weeks later, he won Old Dominion. Mm-hmm. But there was something that day.
Something that, that day, yeah.
Just wasn't mm-hmm. that horse's day, and, you know, as John said, over in the Mideast, every horse gets their dehydration checked, and if there's any question, you get the fluid in them right away, and that prevents the problems that we see. And, you know, I've read too many of the fatality reports where, you know, the horse passes the last vet check in good shape, and then, you know, an hour or two later it goes downhill and the owner's not paying any attention, and by the time they get the horse to the clinic a day or two later, it's too late.
Well, this horse at the end, he was completely back to his normal levels on the blood test they did run from the start.
Yeah.
As he slows down.
Yeah. And you're, you
completely
know, you're
normal, like he hasn't anything.
You would be checking the horse and all that, but, you know, unfortunately, not all ERC owners are conscientious.
Get up and do it, yeah.
You know, mine's right out the window. I can see if they're drinking or laying down. Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That wonderful low munching noise, that means that all is well.
Yes, exactly. I love that noise.
Isn't it beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Slurping and munching.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I think we ought to wrap this.
Wait, I have one more question.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. National Championship this year is a rider ranking ride. I had asked the question, and they were really unsure about it, and I'm not even sure who to direct it to. If you do not have the qualifications to run the National Championship, and I'm talking you're not going to have the mileage. I would not have the mileage.
I hear you entirely.
500 miles.
Yep.
But I asked, could I enter the ride and not ride for the national championship and just ride for the completion for the rider ranking points? Nobody seemed to know the answer.
Whew.
Say that again. The criteria for the National Championship 100 is the horse and rider have to have completed a 100-mile ride, but also the rider has to have 500 miles, and the horse has to have 500 miles. Well, my horse isn't going to have 500 miles, and I'm not going to enter a bunch of races just to get the miles on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask, can I just enter the race but not run for the national championship, run for rider ranking points?
I don't think so. My gut, just as an ex-board member, I'm going to make a wild guess that they wouldn't love that. That's and Stag probably has some thoughts on that too, but I don't.
Well, and that goes back because this is an FEI issue, because then they're making FEI rider ranking rides that aren't available to everybody that's on the rider ranking list technically, because they're counting rides over in Malaysia or Dubai or whatever. So, but only two or three people actually had the opportunity to do that. Not that anybody else would have anyway. But, I mean, that's always been one of my pet peeves is that, yeah, you can enter these rides and get points, but you really can't.
Yeah.
We're going to pick the people that are going to go here and, you know.
Stephanie, I would do the following. I would raise that question with the ride management of the National Championship ride.
I think that's Amy Whalen, isn't
it? I think.
Well, and that's who I asked when I was up there in June, and she was not real sure how they would answer that. So I never really did get it.
I believe. Now, let me tell you a little bit of history here, because the same thing came up in, I think, it was when Jan had the National Championship ride. So the same question came up in, like, 2005 or 6. But in particular, there were Canadians who wanted to come down and ride our national championship ride because they needed, you know, to qualify. And it was a joint FEI ARC ride. Now, this one's not technically even an FEI ride.
No.
And what they ended up doing was saying, well, you could ride for completion only if you sponsored a junior. And so I think they had like probably 8 sponsors for one junior.
Right, but Jan
found a loophole, and Jan was on the board, and the board allowed riders to ride for completion only. So if you wanted to do that, you know, you might want to ask Amy, but you'd probably have to get board approval, and you might want to check with Jan to figure out what precedent Jan used in either 05 or 06.
Okay.
And then have Amy get Jan to sponsor getting that approval. It's a sticky point with ARC. It's ultimately an ARC, since it's an ARC ride decision on, you know, and it's one of the few ARC rides where their horses have to qualify, right? Normally there are no qualifications in an ARC ride. Anybody can enter as long as the horse is old enough. But this one, there are qualifications.
And it is a special sanction, and, yada, yada,
yeah,
yada.
Yeah, special sanction. And the board of ARC, quite frankly, is split on their support. You know, there's some strong supporters of International, and there were some strong opponents. I'm not quite sure. John would know. If John's still on, he would know better the chemistry of the board than I would, since I've been off the board, on whether they, you know, how supportive they are. But you're in a very gray area that you know, you need to get the ride manager to, you and the ride manager need to come up with something that would enable you to ride, a reason, and then she probably needs to get the board to at least nod yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, you need to plan on Gophi, unfortunately.
Hey, it's my horses.
Hey, I might be down to Gophi.
Yeah.
Well, I am going to do Gophi, and I've got an extra horse that needs ridden, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I need another rider, yeah. I need a rider.
But let me, we're wrapping up. One last thing I will mention, if anybody on the line, any of the Apex folks are interested in leasing a good endurance horse, Mike Lewis, who's one of the Apex full members, but he is serving in Iraq right now. He's with the U.S. Air Force. Is interested in having somebody lease his horse Molly for, you know, up to a year, and no fee other than, you know, taking over the expenses of the horse. The horse right now is at Ann Stewart's. The horse has gotten weight on, it's looking good and all, and it's got a good track record. It was a very good junior horse. But he did say, you know, I mentioned it to other Apex members, so if anybody's looking to, you know, wants to lease a good endurance horse for a year, where lease means picking up all the expenses,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, the horse is available. And yeah, probably if you're interested, give me a call separately and I can give you more information.
Or email.
Or email, either way.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. And next call should be in roughly a couple of months. And I have one question from Tom Gower that I'll probably reformulate around. But anybody who has thoughts or further queries or whatever, feel free to shoot them over, and we'll stew on those and formulate them and basically have another very productive call, I hope.
Yeah,
and thank you all for coming.
Yeah, let me mention one other thing. One of the things that some of the full members have taken advantage of and others haven't, you know, if you're getting ready for a ride or a particular objective or something, feel free to email, let's say, myself as a point of contact, or give me a phone call, and, you know, I'll be happy to strategize with you, or if you have questions I can't answer, you know, I'll get you in touch with either Ann Stewart or Jeff Pauly or John Crandall or, you know, one of the, or Ann Ayala, somebody else, but we'll try to answer your questions. But, you know, several of you have been in frequent contact on, hey, I got a ride coming up, and can you give me the following advice? And some of the others haven't, but happy to be helpful in that way to you.
Yeah.
That helps.
Thank you. That'd be great.
Yeah, and we'll hope to see a lot of you, if not all of you, at the national championship. And it would be good to meet you, really.
Yeah, I hope to do it. I've done it on this horse for 2 years and finished 12th, so watch out. Here we go.
Hey, good
show.
Good. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye.
Okay, good night.
Bye.